Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, I've been rethinking how I style the smallest spaces in my house this summer. Instead of stressing over what won't fit, I've been looking at tons of versatile styles from Bob's Discount Furniture that actually multitask. Whether you're working from home or hosting guests, take that Betty dining set, for example. When it's just me, it's a compact, space-saving setup with a super comfy Bobapedic seats. But it extends in a snap when company arrives. It comes in four fun colors, boasts over 1,500 five-star reviews, and at just $5.99 for a seven-piece set, you'll actually have a budget left for the dinner party. And if you love that retro chic vibe, they also have the Betty Bedroom Set featuring gorgeous felt-lined storage drawers and another 1,500 five-star reviews. Or if you just want to lounge, check out the Phantom Power Reclining Sofa. It's packed with cup holders, charging ports, and Bobapedic cushions without taking over your whole living room. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Coffee with Corey. I'm your host, Corey Smith, here to discuss some NC State football. ACC kickoff begins today officially. Talking to Grayson Boone of the Locked On Wolfpack podcast. Grayson, I appreciate you jumping on, man. How are you? Well, we're actually talking on Tuesday night. We won't spoil the surprise here.
Spoiler alert.
I know, but we're talking on Tuesday night. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm fired up for the ACC kickoff. This is always kind of like the point of my summer each year that really gets me going, gets me ready for college football right around the corner. So definitely excited to hear from our guys on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's actually here. And surprise, surprise, the first day it's actually NC State. Usually I feel like NC State is like one of the last teams.
It's always been day three. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, all right. And I always feel bad for the teams. And maybe I don't know how it's going to look on Friday. I haven't looked at the full schedule, but I feel like every year it's like, I think last year NC State and UNC were on the same day. So it was like the spectacle of Bill Belichick. And then It was NC State shortly afterwards. And there wasn't as many people for NC State. And everybody was like, oh, What happened? It's like, well, your guys a spectacle. Nobody really cared about UNC all that much. They cared about Bill Belichick. This year, I don't know what it's going to look like on Friday, because I think NC State and UNC will already be done. I don't know what the Duke crowd is going to look like, but we shall see the way that, things kind of end up in Charlotte. But day one, NC State, I believe, is the third team out of four to go on Wednesday. They will start at 2 o'clock for those that want to tune in. 2 o'clock press conference. I'm sure Dave Doran, CJ Bailey, Isaiah Shirley, Duke Scott will be making the rounds. So you'll see them on other times on ACC Network and things along those lines. But for our coverage, we'll be there starting at noon. We'll cover everything starting at 2 o'clock. 2:30 is when they go into the breakout room. We'll get some fun questions into CJ Bailey, Isaiah Shirley, Duke Scott, and, of course, Dave Doran, which I'm sure he'll answer wonderfully, and we'll get some really appealing stuff out of him. But that's kind of where I wanted to start here. I mean, just, you know, the biggest, I don't know if this is necessarily the biggest, like, pressing question that you have for them, but the way I phrased it was, biggest thing you can't wait to talk to blank about at ACC kickoff. So we'll start with the man in charge. We'll start with Dave Doran. We were talking about this beforehand, and it's kind of like, we've asked a lot of the same questions. I mean, it's been 13 years going on year 14. I'm sure the same questions we're not asking from year one at this point. But the biggest thing that you have on your mind that you want to talk to Dave Doran about at ACC kickoff, Grayson, I'll let you kick it off, man.
Yeah, I mean, the question of, is this the year? I think at this point it's pretty played out. But I think my main question for Dave is, week zero is kind of a new wrinkle for NC State. Obviously, the whole debacle of the Brazil situation, but you're still playing week zero. So you're going to start your season ultimately sooner, both you know, fall camp and then just playing the games. I want to know maybe the mindset, if there is any shift there, because, you know, it's newer. I mean, you play week zero, you're off, and technically week one, which I think is strange. So Dave, he's always kind of seemed like a regimented schedule type of guy. He likes his guys to be on time, on target, kind of the same thing week in, week out. And so this year it's going to look different. How will that feel for NC State? Because, of course, week zero is an ACC game, so it's super important right out of the gate as well. So maybe some thoughts on how they're going to handle this new wrinkle for him this fall.
Yeah, it was funny when they announced the Brazil thing, everybody was like, oh, so this means it's actually an ACC game now. And I kind of want to get his thoughts on not only on that, but the fact that that is now ACC game number 9 for NC State, and some teams only have 8. So his thoughts on how that kind of squares up and the way that's going to look over the next few years, because they've said they're going to move some teams into 9 games and still keep some teams at 8 games, even into next year too. So because of the fact that some games you just can't get out of now at this point. So just his thoughts on that. But also, I mean, I really want to talk to him about some of the new faces that we're going to see. Obviously, you know, we're trying to figure out, and I'm going to talk to each one of the players about, you know, guys that have stood out to them. But just his thoughts, because we really haven't heard a ton about the way that kind of things have shaped up for, you know, guys like, obviously we know CJ Bailey, Duke Scott, those are going to be starters, Isaiah Shirley. There's a reason why they're all there. But the new faces that maybe we haven't talked about as much, the Andre Evans of the world, the Victor Snow, we haven't heard a ton about. So we've heard about, you know, JoJo Trader and King Mack and all these different guys that are expected to take on starting roles. Like, how have those guys looked and where is their development at this point? And maybe some of the injured guys too, like Brody Bernhardt, we haven't heard a ton about just because of the fact that he was injured midway through last season. AJ Richardson was kind of in and out last season. Where does he stand going into this year? And then a couple others. So we'll hear, obviously, we'll talk a little bit about Jonathan Paylor as well and where he stands. But plenty to kind of, you know, chew on when it comes to Dave Doran. But specific players, we'll go with CJ Bailey here just because CJ Bailey, obviously, one of the more interesting storylines we've heard a ton about. You know, teams trying to pull him in different directions, teams trying to pull him into the portal. And his leadership, obviously, he's a guy that comes in a year 3 quarterback for NC State. But what's the biggest thing that you can't wait to talk to CJ Bailey about at ACC kickoff?
You know, ironically, Pac Football on social media, they kind of already asked the question that I wanted to ask him. They put it out on Tuesday. They're asking him how it feels to bring his hometown friends into NC State, being the JoJo Trader, Chance Robinson, and Gauze from down the street over in Dirty Footville. That's what I call it. But, you know, the built-in chemistry with players that you grew up with, childhood friends, you play with them in high school, and even way before that, back in the peewee days, it's got to be such a cool experience to know that you know the guy across from you for years and years and years on end. And, you know, you think about rebuilding a roster every year, it takes a little bit of time to gel. Those guys are just going to pick it up like that. It's like no time lost whatsoever. So I'm kind of interested to know, you know, the feeling behind that, and also maybe the process, if he'll give us anything on that. What's it like when you see Davion Goss goes in the portal? Is it just like an immediate text like, hey, you know what you're doing? Or how does that process work? I think a lot of us would be very curious to hear how that goes.
Yeah, I think there is a little more detail in that we can kind of pull out of it as well. And I also heard a familiar voice on the video. I don't know if you watched it all the way.
You might have.
Yeah. you know, as far as CJ Bailey is concerned, I really want to pick his brain. And I know, look, you know, any guy that's returning, we're going to talk to them about, hey, what's the biggest thing that you look to improve in the offseason? What's the biggest area where you feel like you got better? But with CJ Bailey, like, there's very minor things that he needed to work on this offseason. Obviously, getting more consistent on the road, understanding opposing defenses a little better. But I keep wanting to go back, and I remember listening to Ike Ekwonu a few years back where we talked to him and we're like, you know, you're getting this first-round buzz. You're getting, you know, generating a lot of talk this offseason. What areas did you feel like you wanted to get better? And he's like, look, man, I was really good at run blocking, but I've got to get better as a pass blocker. Like, at that point, he knew his weaknesses. It wasn't like you were like trying to embarrass him by saying something like, hey, man, you got to get better on the road. You got to stop throwing multiple interceptions on the road against Duke and Notre Dame and Miami. Like, that's, you know, ultimately what hurts your offense in those games. So I think this is probably going to be a little bit more of like, hey, I know my strengths and weaknesses. This is what I needed to get better in this offseason. I think you're going to get a much more mature answer out of him this offseason. So I'm excited to be able to kind of pick his brain about that, because we'll have, you know, 30 minutes to sit down and talk to each and every single one of those guys, kind of pick and choose when your spots are. But I think CJ Bailey is going to be a pretty popular guy tomorrow. Duke Scott may not be as popular because I think a lot of people are kind of looking at the stats and going, this guy ran for, you know, a little over 500 yards. Like, he was good last season, but people might not know the full story and might not have paid attention to NC State fully last season. Biggest thing you're excited to talk to Duke Scott about on Wednesday?
I think that's right where we want him, by the way. We want him to be under the radar because we know what he can do once he gets out there. But I think Duke, I mean, the obvious question is the number one jersey, right? He gets honored with the prestigious number one jersey. It means a lot inside of this program since Doran's been in Raleigh. What does that mean to him to be viewed upon as like a leader or, you know, pun intended, the alpha wolf perhaps of this team? It's a really big deal because you think back about, you know, the Caden Fordhams and the Isaiah Moores and the Vans of the world and what they've mean to this program. Duke Scott now stepping into that role, not just, you know, metaphorically, but also he's now running back one. Hollywood Smothers moved on. There's going to be an increased workload for Duke this fall, and that's going to come with a lot of responsibility. So I'm kind of interested to see where his mind is at on that front. I mean, you know, you go back to last season, the performances he had against Georgia Tech and also against Memphis in the bowl game, coming up as the guy in those two games in particular and, you know, spouting off the way he did, I'd have to imagine it does a world of good for the confidence level, especially leveling up into this season. So interested to see, you know, how ready he feels and maybe what he's going to do with that opportunity.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that I'm going to have my eye on this offseason as far as can he take on that full load? Can he be that guy? And I remember a few years ago, obviously completely different player, but I remember, you know, thinking like, all right, after Matt Days was gone, could Nyheim Hines be that guy? Could he step up and take on that role? So that's kind of the question mark for Duke Scott going into this upcoming season. The thing I'm most interested in talking to him about is actually a callback to last year because he was on the freaks list last year. He wasn't as highly thought of as some other freaks for NC State, but he's one of those guys that I feel like, you know, after what he did last season and the role that he's stepping into, the athleticism that he showed, can he be, you know, much higher on that list? And how much, you know, pride did he take in that being listed as a freak and being known as one of those guys before he even had kind of his breakout moments last year? So, and you know, what he took into that to kind of grow even more this offseason and be even more of a freak. Cause obviously, you know, the way that Thunder's talked about him over the last few years, you just know that he's not one that's going to be like, all right, I've made it. I've arrived. I'm good. He's going to take that personally and be like, all right, I got to be even higher on the list. I got to be the dude this year. So I'm excited to kind of pick his brain about that a little bit too. Last guy here, the only defensive guy coming in to ACC kickoff. Typically, that's the way it works. You get two offensive guys, one defensive guy. But Isaiah Shirley, you know, I'm not going to say an interesting choice, but a guy that, you know, hasn't been a full-time starter at NC State to this point. Right. But one that a lot of people expect to step into that role, be a starting defensive lineman this year. Biggest thing that you want to talk to him about throughout Wednesday afternoon?
Well, I mean, I would say it's an interesting choice based on the fact that I think obviously the defensive side of the ball has more questions than the offensive side does. So I think maybe him being chosen is a sign that he could be looked upon as a leader on that defensive line, especially. I think I'm going to have to ask him about the thick six at some point. I mean, that's a given. You can't not ask him about that. But I think most of all for me, he's a four-year player at NC State. And as weird as this is to say, that's rare these days. And so for him to stick with NC State all 4 years so far, I mean, with 5-5, he can go even longer than that if he so chooses. But maybe how NC State football as a program has developed in front of his own eyes, what he's witnessed, the evolution of NC State over the course of his time here. I think that's kind of a interesting perspective. Again, it's so weird to think that just a kid that is at one school for 4 years is almost unique now. I want to know what he thinks about that.
Yeah, that too. And also the fact that, you know, he has had to work his way up. I mean, I remember going back to his true freshman year, like I remember Michael talking to people behind the scenes and they're like, all right, you know, who are some freshmen that are stepping up? And a lot of people said Isaiah Shirley. And it was like, all right, usually that means that he's going to be the guy next year. He's going to step into
Wasn't
that
he a tight end
year.
Too?
Yep. He moved to tight end. He was a blocker as a sophomore, as a redshirt freshman, I believe. He didn't get any action as a true freshman. It was like, all right, he's going to step into that role as a freshman. And then even last year as a redshirt sophomore, it's like, all right, man, you know, this is going to be the year for him. But it really feels like this is his moment to kind of step into that role. And you know, how much has he worked this offseason to actually become that guy and know that, like, all right, this is my opportunity to really go out there and shine. And clearly he's done that this offseason if he's being invited to Charlotte because a lot of people think that highly of him. So I'm interested to kind of pick his brain about that. Any other things that you want to take away that you really want to get out of Wednesday? Because obviously there's a few other teams there. We'll get a chance to talk to Virginia because, you know, look, yep, man, that happens to be the week zero game that you were talking about earlier. But we'll see Florida State. We'll see Miami, which is, you know, everybody's preseason favorite. So any other storylines you're watching for on Wednesday outside of NC State?
Maybe out of left field, but because NC State has always been on day three, we've never seen Jim Phillips speak on day one. So I think it'll be kind of interesting to hear from the commissioner. You know, he takes a lot of heat all the time about the ins and outs of the ACC conference. I'll be kind of intrigued to see what he says about maybe how the other conferences are operating nowadays with, you know, revenue share. And, you know, for example, the Big 12 just signed a deal with Monster Energy Drink. Maybe if that's something ACC wants to get involved with somebody else at some point. You know, I think it'll just be interesting to hear about maybe like the lifeblood. That's not the right word, but just like the status of the ACC these days, because it's crazy times. I mean, you have what feels like a looming conference realignment sometime in the not so distant future. Maybe continued thoughts upon that front.
Yeah, I'd love to find out if he has any advertising. We'll see. I mean, because that would be the perfect time to do it. I mean, are we going to be looking at the Bojangles ACC this upcoming season? I mean,
you have my vote.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, what, Bojangles? I mean, who else could it be? Maybe Cookout here? I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, what is in every ACC city? And I can't really think of anything. Like, Bojangles might be the closest. Obviously, it's not like, up in New York, but I think there is one in like New York now, not up in Syracuse though, which, I mean, there's not a lot in Syracuse in general. So, we'll see if that actually happens, if that's unveiled. It might already have happened by the time this podcast is out, but nice. Grayson, I appreciate you for jumping on and looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday as well, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. Fired up for some Wolfpack football.
Yes, sir. Well, and for those who aren't already watching, you guys, where can people find the Locked On Wolfpack podcast as well?
You can find us on Twitter. Just look up Locked On Wolfpack. You can find myself. My handle is actually on the screen. It's at @gboon_. And Kenton Gibbs as well, my co-host on the channel. I think it is @TGIF_Kenton on Twitter. He's a hoot if you've never heard him speak. Always a great time with Kenton, but looking forward to being there in person on Wednesday.
Yeah, my plan is at some point I got to talk to Kenton, but I want to try to get him on this week as well to kind of do an all-encompassing one, because I know he's going to be at ACC kickoff all week long as well. So definitely excited to talk to him. But Grayson, I appreciate you for jumping on, and thank you to everybody for listening. We will talk to you guys again soon.